all, sorry. I realized I felt like I was still hitting roadblocks and I was still getting my tail kicked. And I didn't understand because I was reading the word on a regular basis. I was spending time in deep prayer with God and I was just saturating myself with the truth and good godly people. And I mean, I could not spend more time, I don't think, around, you know, godly influences and teaching and things like that. But I kept getting my tail kicked. And I realized what it was is I did not understand spiritual authority. I did not understand the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And so I started researching that and I started, you know, just consuming myself with that teaching. And so when Pastor Taya said, hey, where are you at? You know, how do you feel about, here's some of the teachings, where are you at? And I'm like, that's my baby. I got that. I love that. I'm passionate about that. For one, I've got a strong personality. And yes, I was a Marine, but I am telling you, this was powerful in my walk with God. It was powerful in my home when I started understanding the spiritual authority that Jesus transferred to us and the power of his name. And so that's what I want to share with you. We've got some facts on spiritual authority. And first, let's talk about what authority is. Number one, authority is the power or the right to give orders, make decisions, enforce obedience. That's basically what authority is. There's all different types of authority. We're going to hone in on spiritual authority. Bubba always tells me at home that you're not the boss of me, Sonia, but I'm trying to tell him otherwise. No, so we're not talking about that kind. So number two, major fact here that you have to understand about spiritual authority is Jesus is the ultimate and final authority over the enemy. Amen. Jesus is it. The enemy, you know, we look at the world and we see bad things going on and sometimes we're like, what's going on? Jesus has the final authority over the enemy. This is a fundamental truth that we have to get in our spirit. Number three, Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave when he died and rose again. He defeated death, hell, and the grave when he died and rose again. Number four, when we put our faith and trust in him and his finished work, we gain access to all that is his. That's big and that's deep. When we really put our trust in him and his finished work. See, I can believe in Jesus and I can ask him to come into my heart, but if I don't really trust in all that he did, I don't have access available to me. I don't have full access. But when I say, Lord, come into my heart, and I really believe that the word is the ultimate truth, then I just opened up access and I've got it all available to me. Number five, Jesus has given us all of his authority to use here on earth. So Barb, that means he gave you all of the authority that he had when he walked the earth. You go back and you read all the amazing things that he did. He said, here you go, sister, it's yours. That's deep. That's powerful. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority. What authority?
All
authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age. Amen. Jesus gave us all authority of his to use here on earth. We're going to keep diving in. I'm going to keep going. It's easy to want to jump on that, but I'm going to keep going. Number six, we use that authority against the enemy by using Jesus's name. Write this scripture down, highlight it, memorize it, understand it. We use that authority against the enemy by using Jesus's name. John 14, 12 through 14. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. That's a freedom scripture right there. That is a powerhouse punch scripture right there. That is a transfer of authority. It's not ownership. He's still the owner. But he says, I give you authority over what's going on. Where? In heaven and on earth. That's deep. Are we operating in that authority? That's the question. Let's talk about biblical examples of Jesus' name used as a means of authority over the enemy. I've got so many funny stories. I was such a goof. When I started understanding the authority of Jesus, I was still a new believer. And I don't know how silly I was. But listen, God knew that he had to get my attention because I was a hard head. And, you know, some of the things I read, some of the things I read, I thought, really? Really, Lord? And so when I was a new Christian, he was just showing himself. You know, my prayer, Lord, if you're real, show me you're real. Because I think these people are kooky. And God started showing me powerfully. I remember one of the times Bubba and I had gotten married, and we had bought a house that had a swimming pool, and the pump stopped working. No, I didn't have time for all that. We had teenagers coming over, and it was expensive to shock the pool, and been studying on spiritual authority, and I thought, I'm going to speak to this pump. I think I'm crazy or not. Now, I looked around because we had neighbors, and I made sure nobody was in the backyard. But I spoke to that pump, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to function. I command every evil spirit to flee. Listen, it cost $300 to shock that pool. We didn't have money like that. We didn't want to replace the pool. So I started speaking to the pump, and I commanded it in the name of Jesus to function. And I gave it a little time to think about it, and I walked away. And I came back, and I turned that pump on. I am telling you, it worked. It worked. I could give you so many examples. I had an abscess on a tooth when I was, you know, young in Christ, and I started learning about the authority. I didn't have health insurance at that time. I had an abscess. It takes antibiotics. I didn't have the money, and I didn't have insurance, and I commanded healing over my abscess. I commanded infection to leave my body in the name of Jesus. I didn't get on antibiotics. God healed it. Now, as I started growing in Christ, God said, Sonia, I'm not a microwave. I just had to show you that I was real. Amen. But let's talk about biblical examples of using Jesus' name as a means of authority over the enemy. Number one, we see in Genesis that the spoken words of God served as a launching pad to the will of God being done. God spoke, and there was light. God spoke and there was water. God spoke and there was heaven. The spoken word of God is powerful. Number two, the Holy Spirit is the power. That is the power source. Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Holy Spirit is the power. Number three, the name of Jesus is the authority on earth. We go back up to Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So it is the name of Jesus that is the authority on earth. See, when I spoke to those things, as silly as it sounds, God had to get my attention, you know? And I had this crazy faith, and I was going to say, okay, God, show me. It wasn't because I spoke it. It's because Jesus said, Sonia, your faith is growing, and I want to show you how big I am. It may be silly to some people, but I know you're hard-headed, so I've got to get your attention and show you that I am God, and I'll move in the big, but I'll move in the small. And so it's the power of Jesus. Nothing that I did. It's all through Jesus. Number four, it's because of our position as his children that we now have the right and authority to entreat or pray and ask of the Father for his will to be done on heaven as it is on earth. So it's our position. You know, when my children come and ask me for things, they have favoritism because they're my children. I love them. And it's the position that they have in my family that's going to allow me to do more things for them than I may somebody that I don't know. Amen. So we are in that position because we're his children. Number five, what Jesus had done during his earthly ministry, his name now does through us, which refers back to John 14:12, that powerful, powerful scripture that says, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things because I go to you, Daddy.
On the dental position, it's also recognizing position, because when you see a cop, because of his position, you mm-hmm. recognize authority because mm-hmm. of who, what he represents. His yep. badge and stuff, he represents, he's a position of authority. And so respect is, there is, and it's the same way in a physical as a spiritual. When we become like-minded with Christ, when we begin to serve God, the enemy recognizes mm-hmm. our position and our authority and who we are in Christ through, I'm sorry, uniform, but through the condition of our heart
yeah.
and the righteousness and the truth and all that thing. And it's, and that's the way I've always, looked at it, is that when I see a state, you see a state trooper, and that card on there, he's on duty or off duty, you're going to bump your brakes. Mm-hmm. It's because yeah. of the authority.
His position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the authority he has to do, because of what program he's part of.
Yeah, no.
And that's the same thing with us in Christ, is the enemy, when he sees that authority in you, a lot of times he has to bump his brakes before he gets set up to attack you, because he does the authority.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to understand that authority.
Yes.
If somebody was new and they didn't understand what a state trooper looked like,
so true. Yeah.
They wouldn't bump the brakes. But when you understand the authority, then you're going to bump those brakes. That's a great analogy. Thank you. So let's talk about some scriptures where Jesus' name is used and its authority displayed. John 15:16, Jesus is talking about the vine, the branches, and bearing fruit. And he said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. So whatever you ask in my name, he's going to give it to you. John 16:26, Jesus is telling the disciples that he's going to be going away. And in that day, you will ask in my name. John 14:13-14. Again, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified. See, when he answers our prayers, it's not so that we could be glorified and say, look how spiritual I am. I remember God showing me that one time when there was a lady that I knew, and she was one of those super spiritual. She just had S on her chest, and, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good, sister. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay. Everybody. So, anyways, I just remember God kind of showing me something when she said, somebody had been, they had a need in the church, and God met that need. And that lady came up and said, I knew it. I had been praying for you. And so I knew that God was going to answer my prayers. And what I wanted to say is, sure, it really didn't have anything to do with you. It was all about him. So it's not for our glory. It's not for God to say, oh, you know what, Cindy, you prayed like a boss, so I'm going to answer that prayer. It's not so we can be glorified. It is all about him.
Yeah.
Let me edit this.
I have that here, and I don't hear most of it anyway.
So it says, and whatever in my name that I will do, that my Father may be glorified. Excuse me, student. No. So my Father can be glorified. And then Acts 16:18. It's talking about the little fortune teller girl. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her.
What's tricky about that one is what she's doing. She's actually singing praises to God in the
yes.
way.
She's speaking the truth.
Yeah, she's speaking truth, but there was a spirit there, and of course the servant, the gift of the spirit operation. It's just interesting to see the immediate power and effects of the name of Jesus in that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was interesting.
Because she saw the condition of her heart, even though what she was saying was right, where it was coming from.
Mm-hmm. It's association, because that's where the confusion comes in.
She was saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. They announced to you the way of salvation. what she was saying.
You didn't say the right thing.
She did it for many days.
Someone can have
following them around
and try to tell someone about do something this way. This is, but not have the heart knowledge and live it themselves.
So you go see it on that. You got the scripture.
That's what the sermon is.
He did it for a couple days, though. I wonder if he's trying to figure that out.
Possibly. And it's interesting, it says it came out that very hour. Mm-hmm. So, like, it wasn't even that second he spoke Jesus' name, which is also very interesting to me. He doesn't talk to us about the process, what happened between them. It's like within the hour it happened.
Well, he said he was a nobody, so I'm sure she's like this.
I've been in a service where individuals saying the right thing and just looking at it face value, you don't see anything wrong, but it was a distraction to draw, and the enemy was using her to draw the attention on to her and really to discredit people.
That's
so
happened in
the
service.
Devil is very cunning.
That's happened in service.
Yeah.
I mean, we have zero
time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was asked to leave and he got mad, but God was moving and Pastor knew it.
I think with those things, that's where you have to continually stay in prayer, continually pray for discernment and wisdom on the, you know, because when the little girl is saying the right things, like you said, you know, you might think, oh, okay, but praying through discernment and wisdom, God will reveal it, you know, if we're staying close enough to Him, He'll reveal it to us.
He knew she needed to be set free. We all have that head knowledge, you know. That, you know, I fly the devil out of a flight simulator, but you won't climb no airplane with me, you know. And he knew that. But the thing about it is, he knew that there was something wrong with
him. Yeah.
How can you not love him?
He knew there was something. He said something one time, we're not who we are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. We are not who we are supposed to be. I mean, and he knew that.
That's good.
He knew that.
Well, it said it was a spirit of divination. Mm-hmm. And after they cast that spirit out, the guys that were her controllers were mad at them.
Yeah.
And tried to have them stoned because
a moneymaker.
That's what I was going to say too about it was what she, the reason why it's significant in that part of the Bible is because it's indicative of what was going on, why they needed to be there. Because it was. I can't think of the place where it was, it just left my mind. But it was a place where, like, there was, like, a lot of money being exchanged. Like, Lydia, she was a seller of purple, so there was money there. There was religion, but not a relationship. And then when you have, like, money and religion mixed together, you know, it's a spirit of perversion. So all kind of like spirits, like divination, whatever can be in operation, but no true movement of the Spirit of God. So that was like indicative of why they needed to be there, because the people really needed to know that Jesus is real.
Yep, absolutely. Acts 3:6-16. It's where Peter and John are going to the temple. And the lame beggar is there asking for alms. Peter says, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he was leaping up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. If you go down to verse 12, it says, when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this?" They were looking at Peter saying, "Wow, what did you do?" And Peter's like, no. This wasn't me. This didn't have anything to do with me. And in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. He redirected them to say, this isn't me. I was only operating in the authority that Jesus Christ gave me. It's always going back to Jesus. Mark 16, verse 17-20, It's when Jesus is given the Great Commission. And it says, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And there are several other scriptures that talk about the authority by using the name of Jesus. And that is powerful. You know, there's things that go on in our workplaces. There's things that go on in our home. And we've got to take authority over what's going on. You know, there were times in my household when I, you know, was a single mom, and I just felt, you know, the enemy trying to sneak in. And I had to walk through my house and just command every evil spirit to flee in the name of Jesus. And I just prayed that the light of Jesus would shine over my children. And sometimes you just got to take authority in your household, you know. And I was studying this. I thought of the Romans, all those boys. My goodness, I know y'all had to take authority, you know. I mean.
Right in front of you, too, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could only imagine how strong, you know, of a resistance sometimes you guys had to battle. And so I'm sure, you know, quite frequently throughout the years, you guys have had to take authority in your home.
Absolutely.
Spiritually, sometimes physically, but spiritually.
I'm like, you know, I remember one of my sons, boy, he was
like
13, 14, and he hard. I was like, I know what that spirit is. And I went right up to him, and I'm just like, dude, I'm speaking to this right now.
Yeah.
Yes. And he couldn't say a word. He just,
what
a gift.
I just reminded him that their lives would be short if they didn't honor their parents.
Spiritually and physically. Absolutely.
You know, when we open up our homes too, and it's something that Alvin and I have to do, we haven't done it in a while, but I know I pray over it. We pray over our home. But when you open your home up and you have all these people coming in your home a lot too, you know, I don't understand all that goes on in the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. I just don't. So I'm sure there's others who are more know more on that. But I do know that sometimes when there's been a big group in our home, like the next, sometimes there's just something kind of off.
Yep.
There's just something there's. I pray our home would be a place of refuge and safety, and I can tell in the spirit realm when something's off. And so I pray over our home. I pray over our home every day and everyone in our house, because I do have authority. I have rights. My name's on that paper. It's my property. It's my territory. And so I just encourage you guys to do that. Let it not just be a one-time thing, but to our Victoria has memories of us. Even Taylor, when you lived, we would anoint the house with oil and pray through the house. Mm-hmm. You know, so just I encourage you guys to let that be a practice and a habit. Mm-hmm. You know, to spiritually clean your house, spiritually reset the tone of your home, recalibrate that atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Especially after you have a lot of people there.
I watched it walk into my house for one afternoon, and I just heard mom. When I said walk in the house, it, because the demonic, it's got to have a vehicle. And I watched it walk in, and instantly the atmosphere in my house went. And when she left, we recognized it, and we began to pray. And that night, my baby kept waking up screaming bloody murder, but I couldn't get it in. And my kids were coming, and I said, "Daddy, Cody's screaming." And so, one of those seven nightmares, and I'd go in and I'd shake her, and she wouldn't wake up. And I thought she was dreaming. I put her back to bed, and I'd go to bed, and they'd come back in there. So I finally went in there and laid with her and began to pray over her. I'm being serious about this. And I began to pray over her, and she began to scream out. And I thought I had her settled down. I went back and got in bed. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, she walks in, and she's standing beside my bed screaming, and is completely asleep and just screaming bloody murder. And I get her in my bed, and I tell witness, I know what it is. And I started in her room, and I went through every for over an hour or something, wasn't it? And I began to speak to what it was in my house, and I could feel that sucker just as thick as mud. And I had to go through every single room, and when I felt it leave that room, I'd go to the next room, and I was speaking the authority of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I got to the point where it got so heavy that the only thing that I could say was Jesus, and mm-hmm. I would do it. And I walked in our bedroom, and I seen it, something, and I seen it standing in my bathroom. And I'm talking about, I'm not trying to freak nobody out.
No,
I'm talking about long black cloak, and you could see, I could see the demonic, and I watched him, and I looked him in the eyes, and I said, you have no authority in this house. Mm-hmm. I said, you got, I told him, I'll begin this one. And I watched that Joker walk through the walls of my house, and instantly my house was restored. Mm-hmm. And from that day, that was over a year and a half, being asked every morning, I wake up at 4:30, and I walk through my house, and I pray over my house, and I ask mm-hmm. one very specific thing, I ask the Holy Spirit to saturate yes. the walls of my house, yes. mm-hmm. and to saturate the hearts of my kids and my mm-hmm. wife, and it has completely changed the atmosphere, because there's people in and out of our house
sure.
weekly, and it'll jump on you if you're not careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say this because your mother-in-law came to
your house?
Oh my
gosh.
Bye-bye.
There's a long story behind
it. Yeah.
There's
a story.
I got a good mother-in-law. Leave
it off the boat. And it was, it did. I mean, it hit my three, she was three or two at the time. She was three. And, I mean, God woke me and he said, let's go. I mean, he basically said, let's go to work. And yeah. I did. I went to mm-hmm. talking through my house, and I went on every doorway, and I
yeah.
Like the blood of the lamb over mm-hmm. and I spoke the blood of the lamb over every doorway. Mm-hmm. And I walked out of the my foyer of my house and spoke it there, and went outside and spoke it all through my house. And I mean, it was like God, and he did this, like he was leading me each room, and he had me sit here, and he had me sit here, and I went here and went here. And when I opened my bathroom and sent it someone standing there, there was no fear, there was no nothing, there was nothing but confidence that he did not have authority to be in this house no more. And I did. I told him, I said, you got to go. And I began to speak Jesus over him. And he did. It's like he almost shivered up in the corner. And as I began to say the name of Jesus, and I told him, in the name of Jesus, you no longer have authority in my house. So this was right after we got remarried. And that's when he walked up it. And I mean, broke through the wall of my house.
Yeah.
And she instantly, it broke, and she like nothing ever happened.
Yeah. There's power. Power. That's right. So let's talk about our inheritance that's now available to us as Christians. So like Jesus, we now have, number one, closeness to the Father. We can be intimate with the Father. Number two, our inheritance gives us relationship with the Father. A healthy relationship, a good relationship, you know. Sometimes you may not have a great relationship with your father. That's not the kind of relationship we're talking about. We're talking about a beautiful relationship, a love relationship, a protective relationship. You know, when I think of my husband, he's going to protect me and he's going to take care of me and he loves me. God loves me even more than that. A good relationship with the Father. Number three, complete and total forgiveness of sins is now available to us through the inheritance. Psalms 103:12 says that your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. Complete and total forgiveness of sins. And when I was praying and preparing for this teaching, one thing that I felt like God revealed to me is some in here can't forgive themselves. And God says, it's time to forgive yourself. If God can remove your sins as far as the east is from the west, and he makes you as white as snow, it's time to lay it down at his feet and let him completely wash that away. Cleanse your mind and give it to him. Amen. Yes. Number four, eternal life. God gives us a beautiful, powerful, eternal life with him. Number five, he gives us forgiveness for mistakes that we've made. Forgiveness of mistakes. Number six, he gives us power over sin. Sin does not have power over you. Jolene struggles with different sin than I do. Brianne struggles with different sin. But understand that sin does not have power over you. You have authority over that sin. You've got to take authority over that sin. That inheritance that we have from Jesus said, it doesn't control you. You control it through Jesus. And number seven, that inheritance gives us authority over the enemy. Just like Justin was talking about, you have authority over the enemy through Jesus' name. So these are all available to every believer. But does every believer take advantage of them?
No.
Mm-mm. Not at all. Most of the time, I think it's because they don't understand the benefits of having those available to them. When I've thought of the authority before, I've thought about a vehicle, a car. Rob, what's your dream car? If you could pick any car that you wanted.
Right now. I'm awake now. I've been asking the Lord for 35 years now.
Speaking,
1970 SS El Camino with a Calhoun induction. First seat, one seat, rock caution. And that's all I asked for.
I chose the right. Thank you, Lord. So, if I had the keys to the El Camino that Rob just said, and I don't know the other stuff, but if I have the keys, and I give Rob the keys to this El Camino, he has it all available to him.
It's not it. I mean, that's all I got. But it's not it. He's got keys available.
But if he doesn't use the keys, does he benefit from the El Camino sitting in the driveway looking all fancy and shiny? And I know what an El Camino is, though. He's got it available. But just sitting there is no benefit. The inheritance that Jesus has transferred to us is powerful. It's ours. It's available. But if I just sit and look at it, is it a benefit to us? Absolutely not. So how do we receive and enjoy the benefits of this inheritance? How does Rob enjoy the benefits of the El Camino? Number one, we study and understand all that is ours because of what Jesus has done. We study and understand all that is ours because of what Jesus has done. If I get the car, get the keys to the El Camino, I've got the keys and I've got the car, but if I don't understand how to drive it, it's still no benefit to me. So I've got to study and understand how to drive the El Camino so I can get the full benefit. Amen. We've got to study and understand the full benefits of the inheritance that Jesus has passed on to us, which is the closeness to the Father, the relationship, the forgiveness, eternal life, power over sin, and authority over the enemy. I have to understand those. I have to study them, not just listen to them on a Sunday evening, but I've got to really understand what this means before I can apply it. Number two, to receive and enjoy the benefits, I have to accept and receive His promises and benefits. I have to accept and receive His promises and benefits. Malachi 3:10, it's talking about the tithe, but it applies to this. It says, test me, try me, and see if I will not pour out the blessings that you can't even contain. It's going to be so big, you can't even hold it in. Accept and receive. So yes, I want to receive all of the promises and all of the benefits, not just a portion, but I want to receive it all. Number three, we receive and enjoy the benefits by accessing them. Number three, we access them. We use them. We crank that El Camino and drive that bad boy until we can't drive it anymore. Amen. We've got to access them. How do we do that? A says we get as close to God as we want to be. I can get as close to God as I absolutely want to. That is powerful. That is exciting. That is a love compassionate relationship that I have the availability to even do that. My choice. Because God says, here I am. I'm ready. B, we walk in total forgiveness. To receive and enjoy the benefit, we're able to walk in total forgiveness. That equals freedom. That is like the weight of the world that just falls off of us, to truly walk in complete forgiveness, to know that God has forgiven me of my sins and that I have forgiven myself. That weight just falls off of us. And then we also access them. C says, cast away all shame, which again brings freedom. D, we rejoice in the fact that we have eternal life. Rejoice in the fact that we have an incredible eternal life. E, consistently do a spiritual inventory of your life. Check your convictions, your character, and your conduct, and be quick to repent. Consistently do a spiritual inventory of your life. Check your convictions. Check your character, and how are you acting?
Oh, I love that when it talks about use of the Bible questionnaire. Mm-hmm.
Right. If someone looks at me and they can't tell that I love the Lord, I'm missing it. Yeah, I'm missing it. You know, in real estate, whenever I turn in a new listing, I need to turn in a listing agreement. I need to turn in a seller's disclosure. I need to turn in a septic disclosure. We have a checklist. Every listing I turn in, every sale I turn in, I have a checklist. Why do we have a checklist? Yeah. Make sure I don't forget anything. Because you're busy. You get distracted. You got too much going on. Spiritually, you need to have that real estate checklist to make sure. Because when you get distracted, you start getting off-centered. You get out of alignment. So do a spiritual inventory on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I would encourage you guys to pick a day of the week that it's a consistent recalibration day. Like for me, Tuesday is the day I fast and I pray. It's my recalibration. It's where I reassess my character, my convictions, my conduct.
That's good.
And it's, if I don't commit to a day a week, mm-hmm. I could let a month, 3 months, 6 months go by, and I'm reading God's word, I'm praying, but there's something about that intentional.
That's good.
Rechecking, recalibration. Whatever that looks like for you.
That's good. And F, we access them by taking authority over the enemy. Take authority over the enemy. Fight back. One powerful way we defeat and dispel the enemy is to use the authority we have in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians 10 says, verse 4 through 5, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension or lofty thought that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. When I had been serving the Lord, and I was loving the Lord with all of my heart and truly passionately trying to surrender everything, I was still struggling with my mind. And when I heard a teaching on, what, Bonnie? Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Myers. And she shared this scripture. It absolutely transformed my walk and my mind by this scripture right here. Take every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. Bonnie, how do we do that? Tangibly, how do we take every thought captive?
By not, well, first of all, by the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Prayer and praise and rebuke.
That's it.
The lies that Satan throws at our mind daily.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. When you see the thoughts come up, situations come up that don't line up with the will of God, what I did is I had written that scripture everywhere, in my car, on my mirror. I had written it everywhere. And so when a thought would come that I knew was contradictory to the gospel, immediately I said, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. You have no right to come near me. I command my thoughts to line up with the will of God and the word of God. And I did this every day, several times a day for 2 weeks, daily for 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, guess what? It became habit. My mind started lining up with the will of God. And then my words started lining up with the will of God. Bub and I were talking on the way over here, and he said, you know, that's just it. When you start thinking, and you may think, you know, you see your kid acting up, or you see your kid talking about, hey, mom, I'm thinking about this. No, that's contradictory to the word of God. And so before I speak something negatively over my child, I'm going to guard my thoughts, I'm going to guard my words, and I'm going to command them to line up with the will of God and the word of God. I'm not going to speak what I see. I see my kid acting a fool, but I'm not going to speak that over my child, because there's life and death that I speak. Yeah, there's life and death. I'm going to speak life over you, or I'm going to speak death over you. So I've got to be real serious and very intentional with what I'm speaking. But it all starts right here. God says, take every thought captive. If he told me to take every thought captive, that means, Keisha, I gave you the ability to take every thought captive. It's not just if you feel like it. He said, I gave you authority to take that thought captive. Matthew 11:12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The truth is, we are in a spiritual battle. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, we are in a spiritual battle every single day. I think it was Kenneth Hagin that said, your unwillingness to engage in battle doesn't mean that it isn't raging. It just means that you're going to lose.
So should our prayers be violent?
Our prayers should be passionate.
Should have authority.
Mm-hmm. Your unwillingness to engage in battle doesn't mean that the battle isn't raging. It just means that you're going to lose. So my challenge is for you to engage. My challenge is to fight back. Take authority and absolutely never give in. Yes.
Years ago, when we first moved here, we've been here 28 years, we had two little ones. And this is when we had Brother Pierce, you never hear his name, he was here for 2 years, before Tom Hendel. And we had been really praying for a mighty move of God. And we even had a Saturday night service that was strictly just for prayer, for this service that was supposed to be the next day. We've been, you know, trying to invite people and stuff, and both of us were there. Our kids were in the nursery. We went home, we were just pumped up, so excited, just excited about what God was going to do the next day. We went to bed, everybody was fine, 2 o'clock in the morning, my oldest son, time was 2 and a half, Caleb, woke up throwing up all over his bed, of course got into the bathroom, thrown up there, finally when he was done, I put him on my bed while I go to clean up his bed, he starts to throw up on my bed, and so it's just terrible, and the whole time I'm thinking, I don't want this church. I'm like, I want to stay home. And as I'm cleaning up, the Lord was telling me, this is an attack. This is an attack. So as soon as, you know, Rob's kind of holding him and watching him as I'm trying to clean everything up, and finally when we're all done, I looked at Rob and said, Rob, this is an attack. This is the enemy trying to come against what we just prayed over this evening. And we laid him on the floor. And we just laid hands, and like that F, take authority over the enemy. We took authority in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. We bound and broke that sickness that whatever came upon him. As soon as we were done, we picked him up, put him to bed. We all went to sleep, woke up the next morning, perfectly fine.
Healed. Praise God.
And, you know, I was just like, thank you, Lord, for giving me a discerning spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to recognize that.
Yeah.
And that is so truthful. We have the authority in Jesus' name. We just got to exercise it and do it, you know? And so I just praise God. That was probably the first time that I really saw strongly in our family what that was like.
Praise God. That's exciting. Yeah, thank you for sharing. Leanne?
I think the biggest struggle now is I have all this information, and the Lord's really showing me, like, okay, you have the power, and showing me things that I need to have power over. Like, I have this huge problem with irrational fears, and it's getting better, but that's kind of one of the things that He's shown me through this study, and just exercising the power over that, and then praying for other people. But I think the enemy can also trick you up into thinking that, I don't know, he'll make me embarrassed sometimes. And even like with praying with my husband, when stuff is going on, you know, he's struggling with something, and I know, like, I can feel it stirring my spirit, and I'm like, I need to pray for him. I need to, you know, or, you know, the other night we stopped, and I was like, okay, I'm really feeling like we need to pray for my mom right now. But there was this thing inside me before I was able to say it out loud that kept saying, no, don't. He's going to think, he's going to think that's weird. Why, he's not going to want it. It's my husband. Of course he wants to pray with me. Like, of course he wants, you know? And so, even, like, knowing this, there's still that, like, paralyzing thing that comes over me and is like, no, like, what are you going to think? Like, think you're weird. And I don't know. And so,
yeah.
But she is the perfect example of them, I think, as far as Proverbs 18:21, where it talks about the tongue speaks life or death, and you're going to reap it. Mm-hmm. And see, it says speaks life or. It doesn't say speaks life and, because that means they both come together. Mm-hmm. It says there's a choice there. There's a choice there. And you have that choice of either speaking it or not speaking it. You spoke it. You spoke life. You spoke life. You chose to speak life over your voice. Mm-hmm. The devil's saying, mm-hmm. So you're choosing either. I mean, yeah.
That's the absolute truth that we talked about earlier.
Absolutely.
That's right there is the cracks. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that nobody in this classroom sees but you, and that's the crack that the enemy, and because he knows that if you ever figure out that's a lie, and you do get that power, and these mountains begin to move, because that's where we lose our power, is when we don't recognize how much authority we have. When we go to asking God, please God, when we change that and go to thanking God because it's already accomplished, that's where our power comes from. The enemy don't want you to know that. That's what you're getting. When you go to thanking God for these things and thanking for these things being broken, that's when the enemy, that's when mountains begin to move, and because we access this authority that God has given us to stake claim, because what we're doing is staking claim on what's already been done. We're not asking God to do something because it's already been accomplished.
I think in the moments that you don't want to do it the most is when you need to do it. Just like when I don't want to work out, or I don't want to clean the house, or I don't want to whatever, and then I need to do it, you know, you just have to do it, and then it becomes second nature to you, and then you just do it. Whereas, like, we started probably right after we got married, we decided no matter what, we would pray over our food, which seems, you know, some people that's second nature, but to us it wasn't. No matter where we were at, if we were at a restaurant, we wouldn't pray. Well, now we were like, we're going to do this no matter what. And so now we do it no matter what. And, you know, and so it's funny because my, you know, even if somebody's already started eating or whatever, we're just like, we're going to bless the food. If you're going to bow your head, go on with it. But if you're not, you're not. You know, we just do it. It's just second nature where you just have to do it even when it feels kind of awkward or whatever, you know. Just do it.
Right. Another thing is like, you know, the first time you do it, anything, especially like praying, especially with your spouse, I think everyone can probably relate to that. The couple times I did that, it's awkward. But the more you do it, the more it feels right. And you're just starting to tap into that, oh, wait, I need to pray. And so you're telling yourself yes, even after you said no. So you're still moving forward.
She's not saying no. The enemy's saying no.
Right. He's trying to make you say no, and you're saying yes.
I think it works too. Like, even just now, like, as you guys are talking, like, earlier, when he gave the analogy with the state trooper, like, the Lord is really showing me, like, what he's trying to